We don't understand it all, but we just do it. We just do it, you know? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Just do it. Hallelujah. Let's go to Galatians first. Galatians chapter 5. And let's read this together in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. I mean, there it is. Okay, everybody can go home. That's it. Praise God. That needs to be highlighted, underlined, in parentheses. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you what? There's a difference between doing, just doing it, and doing the things you wish. Has everybody got it? When you want to just do it, you're doing things that are righteous and good, according to the eyes of God. People are doing things that they wish, and they find out later they wishn't. Hallelujah. It says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And the law is a representation of sin and death. Now the works of the flesh are evidence. Is everybody seeing there? Come on, read it with me. Which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now these are things that our flesh wishes to do. Okay? He says, of which I tell you what? Beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So those who practice those things will not go home. Real simple. Right? Everybody got it? Amen. Does everybody got it? Amen. If you practice these things, you're not going home. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So we see that there's a difference in walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. Walking in the flesh is things that you wish to do. Does everybody understand that? Walking in the Spirit are things that you're told to do. See, and as you begin to walk more and more in the Spirit, it's not just about being told what to do, it's because you know what to do that pleases God. So there's a part in our life where you and I must get to a point where we're just do it. Do what? Do the things that please Him. Just do it. Amen? Just do it. You know, so many times we come across a crossroad of a decision we need to make. And if we'll just stop and go, man, this I know this is what's going to please God, but I'm not sure. Man, you go the route that pleases Him, you say, just do it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Jeremiah 7. You know, we get people that want to come to the discipleship program. One of the things I ask them is if they're willing to do whatever it takes. Of course, they almost all say yes. But they wouldn't get in, right? I mean, you know. There are many times I'll ask someone, do you want to try it or do you want to do it? Because those who come here to try it don't make it. The ones that come and do it make it. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. Somebody who comes, you can't say, I'm going to try God.
Amen.
You're either going to do it or not, because if you're in the circumstance of trying, you're not ready. You might as well go eat more dirt and serve the devil a little bit longer. Amen? Until we get to the point where I'm going to do it. I'm not going to try it. And the devil will always try to bring you back to that place of trying it. Because he's no dummy. You know, he always puts that double-minded, he always comes out with a double-minded, like, okay, yeah, all right. All right, I've been doing this long enough now. I think I'll just try it a little bit. I think I'll back off and just, you know, try it. Because I've been doing it long enough, you know, that's what he loves. Oh, man, let me tell you, he just waits for that. He does backflips when somebody makes that choice or that thought comes out and says, I'll just try it. No, I've been doing it long enough. No. See, you and I must be in a state of, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to the day I leave this planet, because then you're going to have to struggle with that. You're going to do whatever. You've already done it. Amen. We've got to get to that point where we first started our walk with the Lord when we said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Amen. We must stay in that attitude every single day. You get up and you go, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes today. Toilets, I don't care what it is. Labor pool, I don't care what it is. Free time. Services. Lord, I don't care what it is. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Let me tell you something. Daddy smiles from ear to ear when we say that. And not only when we say that, but when we do that.
Amen.
That's what you and I just need to do. Whatever it takes. Just do it. Amen? Just do it. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jeremiah, chapter 7. In verse 1 through 8. Is everybody there? I believe that's it. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter at these gates to worship the Lord. Now he's talking about, this was in the gate where people are coming in to worship the Lord. Here's Jeremiah standing at the gate. Everybody's coming in to worship the Lord. Right? Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. I mean, these people are coming to worship God, and Jeremiah is standing in the gate saying, listen, it's time to just do it. It's time to just do it. He said, amend your ways, right? Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Wow. Obviously, there was something they weren't doing correctly in the eyes of God, even though they were going to go worship Him. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you, that's the second time he said that, I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Hallelujah. Then I will cause you to dwell in this place. I'm going to share something with you. I was going to bring this down a little bit further, but when cause means to strengthen you. See, because he says, I'm going to cause you to do something, right? In other words, he's going to give you the strength to do it. Has everybody got that? I'm going to cause you to do it. In fact, you'll find out how David cried out, cause me to do certain things. What he's actually asking for is the strength to do it, to please him. Has everybody got it? Okay, go to verse, hallelujah, 23. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices, but this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be what?
Well
with you. It says, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward.
Amen.
Backward and not forward. Okay? So we got to understand that the Lord first said, thoroughly amend your way. In other words, in every area of your life, turn it over from unrighteous to righteous. Everything. Everything must be turned over to righteousness. God won't ask you to do anything that you couldn't do. Has everybody got that? Let me share something with you. Sometimes He's asking you to do something and we're fearful in doing it. Sometimes we're embarrassed. Especially when He says, raise your hands at me and praise me. Man, what will people think? You know? There's, you know, some people can't submit to the Word of God, right? And what He's trying to do is He's trying to give us the strength. He's causing us because He's trying to get something to us. So if we'll make the choice, He said, amend your ways. If we'll make the choice to amend our ways, and I'll share this again, I've shared this testimony before. People come, sometimes they want to get delivered from drugs or alcohol, or they want to get delivered from cigarettes. Right? Well, they show up with cigarettes in their pockets and a lighter. It's like, you know what? Amend your ways. Get rid of them. God will meet you there, and He'll strengthen you to not go back. There was a testimony one time of and this powerful man of this powerful couple that had a powerful healing ministry, and this woman came up to them and said, "Pray for me to stop smoking." She said, "I've prayed, been prayed for by the best, and I still can't stop smoking." And so before they prayed for her, the Lord spoke to them and told her, "Just quit." So they wouldn't pray for her. And they said, just quit. Because see, God was already meeting her. See, she really didn't want to quit. She wanted God to deliver her. But she wanted God to deliver her according to her way.
Yeah.
One time I had a heroin addict. I was at a service in my heart. I just began to weep for this person that was in front of me. I knew they were nodding. You know, they were nodding back and forth, and I knew that they were on heroin. The Holy Spirit let me know. And the Lord shared with me He wanted to heal this girl. And she was with her husband. And she brought her to a service, a healing service. And she'd go, and she'd come back and start nodding more. And I thought, Lord, I know You want to heal her. What's up? So the next thing I know, she's in this living room, right, with her husband. We had a prayer meeting. And we began to pray, and she was nodding and all kinds of stuff. And I began to pray for her, and it was like she couldn't take it. She got up and left. And I said, Lord, what's up? And it's like she's going out getting high, right in her car. In other words, she wasn't willing to lay it down to go get free. Do you know what I'm saying? So she's wanting God to, you know, just free her right then and there. But in other words, she wasn't making that step. She wasn't willing to trust that God was going to heal her. What she was doing was challenging Him to heal her. And there's a difference. Has everybody got it? So in this, what He's saying here, Jeremiah was going to the gates and saying, amend your ways. Amend your ways. Even though you're coming worshiping the Lord, amend your ways from all uncleanliness, from all unrighteousness. And God will allow you to dwell in His land. Hallelujah. Everybody all right?
Amen.
You see, what happens then is He will cause you to dwell in the promised land. When you are willing to amend your ways, He's going to cause you to dwell. He's going to give you the strength to walk in the promised land. By walking in the promised land, promises are manifested.
Amen.
Is everybody with me? Come on, I'll get it. He's first thing you got to do, in other words, if you're willing to do whatever it takes, you're willing to amend your ways, aren't you?
Amen.
You're willing to lay down whatever, you're willing to do whatever it takes. God says, do this, do this.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because you're willing to do whatever it takes, aren't you? All right. When you begin to do that, He begins to strengthen you. He begins to bring you in the promised land. Now, the promised land is a position. It's not a place. It's not what you call a physical place. It's a position in the spirit. When you begin to walk in the promised land, the promises begin to get manifested in you, for you, and through you. But you first must do one thing, amend your ways. Willing to do whatever it takes. That's why the word says submit to God, right? Humble yourself before the hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time, right? So, we've got to get to an understanding that one of the things the powers of darkness want to do is prevent us from amending our ways. They always want to put something in front of us to entice us, to prevent us from turning, letting go. Or remember, we even talked before about compromising in certain things in of our life.
Yeah.
Amen? So, Jesus said here, He said, and I will cause you, didn't He? I will cause you. In other words, I will strengthen you. Now turn to Jeremiah 18. I will cause you to dwell in the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is everybody at Jeremiah 18? Praise God. In verse 1, read it with me. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. So now He said, I'll cause you to dwell in the land. Now I'll cause you to hear my words. I will strengthen you so that you can hear.
Amen.
Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. Oh, hallelujah, the wonderful wheel. The wheel is known as the Holy Spirit. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel. Born again? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. From glory to glory? As it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of true ministries, can I not do with you as this potter?
Amen.
Says the Lord, look at the clay. Look at the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of true ministries. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its what?
Evil.
Evil. I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. Now, that's why God put a righteous president in this country.
Amen.
Right? And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning the kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. So you got to understand that God has got a plan of good for me and you, doesn't He?
Amen.
He's got a plan for good. So He's trying to get us to renounce. He's trying to thoroughly get us to amend our ways. And we first must make the choice that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'll amend my way so I can get in that place where He can cause me to dwell in the promised land and where He can cause me to hear.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And verse 11. Would you read it with me? Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Oh, hallelujah. So he's causing us here to mold us for our benefit. Again, I want you to understand that when he says cause you, it means to impart strength to do something. But you must make the first move by just doing it. Right? Do it and die, right?
Amen.
Praise God. Go to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Praise be to God. Just do it. We got a sign that says, just do it, clap your hands, you know. Just do it, man. Don't try and figure it out. Just do it. You know it pleases him. If it's in the Word, it pleases him, right?
Amen.
Just do it. Hallelujah. And verse 7, would you read it with me? Here David was crying out to the Lord. He said, Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. What does he say? Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. So he says two things here. He says, cause me to hear again and cause me to walk. Cause me to hear and cause me to walk. And verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. And you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Hallelujah. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Now, I understand something. He said, cause me, again, strengthen me to hear. Strengthen me to walk. Lead me in the land of the uprightness. In other words, lead me in the land of promise. Because if I'm walking in the position of the land of promise, promises are going to be manifested in me, through me, and for me. Here is the express image of a servant that says, a servant will surrender for the Lord's cause.
Amen.
Does everybody get that?
Amen.
So here he's saying, cause me to hear, cause me to walk, lead me in the land of promise, lead me in the land of uprightness, because I am your servant. And because I am your servant, I am desiring you and asking you to strengthen me for your cause. Hello?
Amen. Amen.
A servant will surrender for the Lord's cause, won't he? In fact, he'll ask to get strengthened and everything else for the Lord's cause. To bring glory to His name, to expand His kingdom, to be the witness, and to be example and the light. Hallelujah. Psalm 119. I think we have a simple teaching tonight. Hallelujah. Psalm 119. Glory to God. Oh, help Holy Ghost. In verse 49. Would you read it with me? Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Oh, he strengthened him with to hope, didn't he? He put his he had enough strength that his hope was in him and nothing else. But he said, you caused me to hope. You gave me the strength to hope. You know how many people, so many times I hear about people, you know, I did this and I did that and so forth. In fact, some parts of my family used to get real irritated. Because they'd say, oh, you did all this? And I said, no, the Lord helped me. The Lord did it. I said, I just, you know, surrendered. No, you did it. No, I didn't do it. You don't understand. And they get all upset, man. Come on, you got to take some credit. They'd say, I said, no, I didn't do it. He caused me to do it.
Amen.
He caused me. He gave me the strength to do what I was supposed to do. But man, they get all upset. Man, you need to take some credit for what you're doing. No. All glory goes to Him. Because you and I can't do anything. This is where the Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. He causes me. Does everybody understand that? So when you see the word cause, when David is crying out, when you hear some, in fact, that's something you and I need to do every day. Cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, cause me to walk in your ways. Lord, cause me to hear your voice. Cause me. What are you asking for? Strength. Upakata rabasi. Upon you, upon which you have caused me, you have strengthened me to hope in you. This is my comfort and my affliction, he said. For your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision. Yet I do not turn aside from your law. In other words, he had the strength to keep his hope in him, didn't he? Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 33. Hallelujah. Read it with me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me is the same thing that means cause me. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my ear to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Hallelujah. Everybody needs to highlight that. And revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Hallelujah. Strength. Strength to hope. He says, make me, cause me, strengthen me. Amen. It's the same thing. Make me. Hallelujah. Go to Ezekiel 36. David had a relationship with the Lord. He knew the prayers that pleased God. You know, when he went before the Lord, when he said, cause me, man, I could just see the Lord being delighted. And the Bible says God delights in delivering His children. All right? He delights in delivering us and freeing us. But so many times, we come to Him with a, here comes your humble servant. No. That's not how we approach God, is it? Hi, I'm your humble servant. Oh, no, you're not. If you were so humble, you wouldn't approach me and tell me you were humble. Right? We approach Him. When we approach the Lord, we approach Him that He is everything and there's nothing we can do without Him. That He is life. Because He is. The Word says we live and have our being in Him. Lord, cause me to do the right things. Cause me. Lord, cause me to think the right things. Lord, cause me to act the right way. Lord, cause me. But let me share something with you. The cause is not going to happen until we are willing to amend our ways. Right? I mean, there are people who are shacking up together. If they're shacking up together, the devil's going to constantly steal things. The perfect will of God will never manifest in that relationship. Never. Until we are willing to amend our ways. People are still doing drugs and alcohol, and they're saying, Lord, cause me. And He's saying, listen, amend your way. Come out of that. Come out of that relationship. Come out of the way you're living. Amend your ways. And then I'll give you the strength and cause you to do my will. Amen? Because we Lord, cause me to do your will. Right? You know, so many times, the Bible says not to be unevenly yoked, right? With unbelievers. Far be it should light walk with darkness. Now, there are people who claim to be believers. But you know that they're not walking right before God. And the Lord says, don't walk with them. Don't have fellowship with them. Amen. Because what you're doing is eating the delicacies of the wicked with them by approving them. And what's on them is on you. Next thing you know, you're back doing some of the things that God freed you from before. You know, I've heard of people who've quit smoking cigarettes, quit doing dope, whatever. Next thing you know, they're hanging around other people where they shouldn't be. The next thing you know, they're smoking cigarettes. The next thing you know, they're having a sip of beer, whatever it is, and one thing leads to another. Right? Bad company corrupts good habits, doesn't it? Why? Because He said, amend your ways and I will give you the strength. So many people are trying to go, oh Lord, help! Strengthen me for this. And He's saying, get out of there and I'll give you the strength. First, amend your ways. Do what I've asked you to do according to my will and my word, and I'll strengthen you and bless you. But Lord, I don't want to, really don't want to give it up. Hello? I really don't want to give it up. Because if I really wanted to give it up, I would amend my ways and come out of that. Remember, God never interrupts Himself. He's holy and righteous and true. Oh, hallelujah. Where are we now? Ezekiel 36. Everybody all right? Oh, cause me to understand, Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. And verse something. Verse 23. Praise God. Oh, to God be the glory. Would you read it with me, please? I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nation shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before your eyes. Now check this out. When I am hallowed in you, when I am made holy in you, when I am honored in you, when you're willing to amend your ways, and people see me in you. You know, you can't proclaim to be a believer, because the word believe means to follow, if you're doing the things that are offending to God. Amen. It doesn't mean that we're perfect and we're not going to make a mistake, right? But those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What? The wishes of the flesh. Won't make it. I don't care how many church services you go to. I don't care how many Bible studies you go to. Until you amend your ways. Because, see, every one of us knows what God wants from us in this room. Now, He may want some things different from me than he wants from you. Come on. He wants certain things from each and every one of us because his specific, perfect character desires to be manifested in you and in me. Every one of us is unique, right? Every one of us has our own anointing, right? So in that, we are a part of an expressed image of his character by his Spirit, aren't we? So he expects me and you to amend our ways so that he can be honored in this vessel. He will strengthen us to be honored in this vessel when we are willing to amend our ways. So he may be asking you to do something. Now, you may be prolonging it for a while. Well, you know, Lord, I just don't know what to do. I've been procrastinating, prolonging, same thing. Amen? But let me tell you something. When you finally make the choice to amend that way, God is going to strengthen you and bless you. Amen. See, the devil binds you in the spirit of fear to cause you to serve him. And I'd rather have the strength of the Lord than the strength of the flesh. Okay? Oh, hallelujah. Okay, where were we now? Okay. When I am hallowed in you before their eyes. In verse 24, is everybody there? Read it with me. For I'll take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Hallelujah. Everybody has their own land.
Amen.
Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and what? Cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my statutes and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people and I'll be your God. Now hold on a minute. Let's just back up here. He says, okay, when I'm hallowed in you, right? In other words, when you make the choice, when we make the choice to amend our ways. Now we're acknowledging him, right? Okay. He says, okay, cool. When you make that choice, right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to clean you. All right? I'm going to fillet you. Amen. I'm going to give you a new heart. Oh, that's new purpose and new direction. Amen. I'm going to give you a new spirit. Now, you got to have a new heart with a new spirit because the spirit is a character, the heart is a character of your spirit. And then he says, I'm going to put my spirit in you to strengthen you so that you will walk in my ways. Right? So that you will walk in my ways. Now, when you do that, I'm going to bring you into the promised land. Where my promises will be manifested in you and through you. In verse 29, read it with me. I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Now that is powerful. That's powerful. He all just asked for a simple thing. Amend our ways. In other words, trust me, will you? Come on, come out of that relationship. Come out of that addiction. Well, I'm addicted. Don't worry about it. Come out of it. I'll meet you there.
Amen.
Just amend your ways. Drop them, leave them, let them go. For what I hear for you is better.
Amen.
Don't promote evil. Expose it. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, just do it. Just do it. Right? Remember, you're the promised land, aren't you?
Amen.
Go to Romans 1. Praise God. Just do it. Clap your hands. Amen. Just do it. Jump for joy. Just do it. So understand the reason why the Lord is trying to cause us, strengthen us, is because He's trying to get something to us, isn't He? His promises.
Amen.
Romans chapter 1, and verse 11. Paul writes, he says, "For I long to see you that I may what?
Impart
to you some spiritual gift so that you may be what?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. You know what? Doesn't Daddy want to do that?
Yeah.
Amen. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now." Oh, let me tell you something. The devil always is trying to prevent an impartation. Always trying to prevent an impartation. That's his job. He'll put everything in your path. You know, in the world we used to say sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now it's believers. It's money, money, and money. Lust, lust, and lust. Hello? He'll put anything in your way to entice, okay, to entice what He's delivered you from, to prevent you from going forward. Has everybody got it? "That I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." Praise God. He wants to impart a spiritual gift. In other words, a spiritual desire also. A spiritual desire. But of course, he was hindered, wasn't he? The powers of darkness are always going to try and hinder you. Sometimes we have to cry out, "God, help. Cause me. Cause me." Why? Because He strengthens us to go, doesn't He? He strengthens us to go. How many times you knew you needed to go somewhere, but man, you just were weak, tired, not feeling right, really not wanting to go. You know, like every morning. You say, "Lord, quicken me." What you need to say is, "Lord, cause me." Lord, cause me. What He does, now check this out. The Lord will cause you to go and meets us with the promises of blessing. He always will meet us. You know, you and I, when you get up and you go to work, right, there's a reward at the end of the week. But the reward is a financial reward, but the reward is the blessing of the Lord, because that financial reward allows us to sow into the kingdom of God, to expand His kingdom and bring glory to His name, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. So it's amazing how He blesses us and He gives us the seed so that we can get more blessed. Isaiah 11. In verse 2, would you read it with me? "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me." Say that, on me. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me. the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Might means what? Strength. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, which means reverence. So the Lord is our strength, right? Amen. So when David was actually saying, Lord, cause me to do this, you know, he was asking for his presence. He was asking for his presence. Lord, cause me to do this. The Lord showed up and caused him to do it. Go to Deuteronomy 7. Cause me. We want to get to the promised land, right? We want to walk in it. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Praise God. Starting at verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, and the Gergesites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me. Now this means things that are wishes, okay, and things that God is instructing. You know how many people get married without any counsel? You know, it doesn't last. I get a lot of people call me. They want to talk about their marriage. It's like, well, did you get counsel? Well, no. You know, it's a bummer for two people to get married and not know what they're getting married into. Especially if it's not the will of God. Amen? It's a terrible thing. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. He's talking about everything that would cause us, hello, to stumble, cause us to walk away from the ways of God. Whatever it is. Some people need to give up jobs. Because in true reality, God is saying, you know, it's really not pleasing me. And what they're saying is, well, Lord, you know, I don't have anything else yet. And he's saying, why don't you trust me? Why don't you trust me? Amend your ways. You know, understand this. We always think that it's sin, right? Well, we believe that we've got to be either working in a place or doing something where we're involved in sin to be offending to God, but that's not true. That's not true at all. Because you and I are beyond a place of just sin. We're in a place of relationship, aren't we? And that's totally different. And if you're just walking in that line of just sinning or not sinning, then you don't have a relationship. Because if you're justifying your walk by whether you sin or not, you don't have a relationship. You justify your walk by whether you're pleasing Him or not. And that's where He's asking you what you're doing. Amend your ways. It's time to come out of that job. It's time to come out of that relationship with that friend. Whatever it may be. That suppose he's your friend. It's time for you to stop going and bingoing every Tuesday night. It's time for you to stop the gambling. It's time for, you know what I'm saying? It's time to lay down these cigarettes. It's time to lay this down. It's time to lay that down. Come on, amend your ways and get into the promised land so my promise can be manifested in you and through you.
Amen.
So your trust is not in your job or other people. Your trust is in me.
Amen.
And in me, I have everything, he says. I mean, you know, why should we rely on anyone else? I'd rather rely on the Creator. Oh, hallelujah. Where am I?
Verse
5? Verse 7?
No.
Verse 6. Okay. Would you read it with me?
For you are
a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. That's us. Hallelujah. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out of the mighty hand, with a mighty hand, and redeemed you from the house of bondage. That means, did I forget 7? Oh man. Verse 7, let's go back. The Lord did not set his love, I read that, didn't I? Oh. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. How many of you all have been rejected in your life? I mean, we were known as the outcasts, right? Man. I mean, I wasn't the black sheep of the family. I was the polka-dotted one, you know? It was like, man. Praise God. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Satan. Amen? From the hand of Satan. Real simple. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore you shall keep the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant known as promises and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock, and the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness. Hello. And will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Also you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. That doesn't mean you're going to shoot people and kill people, okay? The Lord is the avenger. He's just saying, destroy the worship towards them and towards the ways of the Satan. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispose them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and wonders and the mighty hand and outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you, little by little. We all want it done now, you know.
Amen.
Drive through. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. He's talking about our enemy. Does everybody understand that? Praise God. That's enough of that. Hallelujah. I think we got the hint. Go to Judges 16. Yo. Judges 16. Speaking of strength, Judges 16 and verse 1. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went in to her. Samson was out whore dogging. Hello. Let's get real. He was doing the wrong thing and God's strength was upon him. Amen? God's strength was upon him. And he was misusing it. Even though the anointing was still on him, he was still misusing it. Everything that he was doing was offending of the Lord, wasn't he? And he meant Delilah. Another one, right? Hallelujah. Go to verse 4. Afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Woohoo. Cash. Cash. Some people are going to turn their anointing over for cash. Hallelujah. So the devil's trying to what? He's trying to disarm you, isn't he? Amen? He's trying to entice us, right? Okay. And Samson said to her, so Delilah said to Samson, verse 6, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. I mean, of course, he lied to her. So not only was he fornicating, he was lying, wasn't he? He should have just said, forget it, sister. This isn't how it is. You know. But he didn't have that relationship, did he? That he should have. He was being enticed by all the things of the world, which is preventing him to do the will of God. Okay. And we know that she kept enticing him, and he kept lying, didn't he? And then go to verse 16. Go to verse 16. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily. Does the devil pester you daily sometimes? Hello? What's he trying to do? Cause you to do something for him. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. He should have departed from evil, right? That he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come to my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. And we know that Delilah snipped his curls, right? In verse 21, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Woohoo. And brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. One of the things the devil wants to do is blind you, doesn't he? He wants to put the scales back on our eyes and blind us all over again so that we have to start over and over and over. Believe me, he's trying to cause you. If he can nab you into that area to give up, to give up what God has given you, to get you out of the position of the promised lands where the promises are manifesting, He nabs us. It's like starting all over again sometimes. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we don't want to do that. God says, do what is good, right? In my sight. Samson thought he was doing good, but he ended up blinded, didn't he? You know, Saul thought he was good, doing good, didn't he? Saul was out killing believers, wasn't he? Who became Paul. Until he had the encounter with the Lord and truth was brought to him. But he actually thought he was doing good. But he wasn't. He was doing evil. Go to Acts 10:38. Somewhere around there anyways. Oh, just do it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus had to replace Samson and do good. Jesus had to replace all of them, you know that?
Yeah.
He had to replace all the prophets. He had to replace everybody. And do good. In verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of what? Nazareth. With the Holy Spirit and with power. Who went about doing what?
Good.
He was doing good, wasn't he? And healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. It's not easy to be an example and help others if we're bound ourselves. Right? Go to Psalm 34. Praise God. Everybody all right?
Amen.
You going to just do it? Just do it. In verse 14 it says what? Depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So, you know, that means just do it, right? Just do the good thing. You know what's pleasing God. Every one of us does. Just do it. That's Psalm 34, verse 14. Go to Psalm 37. Read it with me, please. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Remember we talked about the land? The land of promise, right? Where promises are manifested in us and through us for His glory. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His what? Hallelujah. Amend our ways. We must amend our ways. Man, it's real quiet in here. Thinking about what you need to amend? Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Would you read it with me? In verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but a bondservants of God. Man, you know, you can't use the freedom that we have. You know, we can't use this freedom for selfish gains, for wrong usury. Amen. We use the freedom that we have to walk in the freedom of the Spirit to bring glory to His name. Removing ourselves from all abominable things. Doing good and put to silence the foolish men. That way people can't say stuff about you when you're doing good, right? But man, they're looking for you to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Get them. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I think parts of my family are still waiting for me to fall, and it's been over 10 years. He's going to bite it one day. No, he's not. James chapter 4. They still can't figure me out. That's okay, though. They can't understand the things of the Spirit. It's foolish to them. Oh, praise God. Let's see, I'm supposed to read something here. Oh, read verse 17 with me. Is everybody there? Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. There it is. Plain simple. If you know what you're doing isn't truly right before God, it's sin. Hebrews 13. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah. You're darn tootin', He knows your heart. Hebrews 13. In verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Hallelujah. But do not forget to do good and to share, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, and those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So he said to share. Right? Submit. Go to 1 Peter 3. Oh, we're just flying through right now. A couple more scriptures, we're done. Then you can just do it. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For we who love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, let his lips from speaking deceit, let him turn away from evil and do good, let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Now you got to understand someone who is doing good, good is an expression of righteousness in the eyes of God. And his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good or what is righteous? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11. Just do it. Just do it. How many times have you said to yourself, man, I'm just going to do this, and you know, and when it came time to do it, you got all compromised, and all. Well, maybe it's not God's time. Well, you know, there's another day. Miss God. Right? Proverbs what? 11. Okay. Hey, we've all done that, right? I mean, every one of us has done that. But we've got to start changing and just do it. We have to amend our ways and just do it. And God will cause us, He'll strengthen us to walk in the promised land. Proverbs 11, verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Woo. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. Go to verse 19. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Wow. So just do it. And we'll close in Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. I don't feel like it. Just do it. Just do it. Just doesn't make sense to me. Does the word say it? Yes. Then just do it. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and cursed is the man who trusts in man. Just do it. And verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it too far off. Just do it, right? It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. See, you don't have to just hear from heaven to do it, man. There are things that you know that you and I are supposed to do to please Him. Amen. Those are things that are known as good. Okay. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may what? Do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and what? Multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Has everybody got it? Has everybody got it?
Amen.
What are we going to do? Just do it. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would cause us to just do it. Lord, that we may be pleasing to you in every area of our life. And whatever it is, Lord, that you're asking us to amend our ways, we first want to repent for those things and to cause us to amend those ways, Lord. That we may be established as a witness in power and in truth to bring glory to your name and expand your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,